أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at Surah Al-Baqarah, and we now come to the final part, section 9. And this, in essence, summarizes the core values of the Baqarah Learning Institution, or the core values of what we believe in as Muslims. And then there is a du'a. In fact, there are 7 du'as to be able to maintain these values. These ayats connect to the beginning. So the epilogue is really a mirror of the prologue. The surah begins by describing the qualities of those who are muttaqeen, those who accept the guidance. He says they believe in the unseen, they establish salah, they give zakah, and they believe in what was revealed to the messenger and to the previous messengers, and they're absolutely sure of accountability of the hereafter. He contrasts them to those who cover up the truth and those who pretend to accept guidance, the hypocrites. Following on, we see the section about the Bani Israel, who were given grace, were guided, who were exalted with bounties and favors. And yet they became arrogant, they disobeyed, and bore malice against Allah and even His angels and the messengers. As a result, they were laid on with heavy burdens, like the order to kill their own, to turn into apes, and various punishments sent down upon them. And it is after all this, we see these last verses, which we call Aman al-Rasul. Now before that, we will look at Ayah 284. Where Allah says, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth belongs to Allah. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. So it says, whether you make it apparent or you hide it, Allah will call you to account for it. فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَن يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. So to whom everything belongs will call us to account for our transactions with His belongings, Allah's belongings. So really there's no place to run to. We've just come out of a section where we talked about investments, and we will have to be accountable for all these. So let's look now what should be within us and what we should manifest. And this is encapsulated in the phenomenal last 2 ayat. And we call them Aman al-Rasul. So let's start with them. Aman al-Rasul, the messenger believes. Bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi. In what was sent down to him, what was revealed to him from his Rabb. And then, wal mu'minun. And so do the believers. It is phenomenal that we as believers are put together in the same bucket as Rasulullah, in the same class. We're being told he believes, and so do the believers. It's one of the most honorable sentences in the Quran for those who believe. Now, what do they believe in? He says, Kullun, Amana billahi, number one. They believe in Allah. Wa malaikatihi, and His angels. Wa kutubihi, and His scriptures and His books. Wa rusulihi, and His messengers. So they believe in Tawheed and Risala, because messengers, book, and angels are part of Risala. And then a statement, وَلَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحْدٍ مِّن رُسُلِي. And we make no distinction between any one of His messengers. The Bani Israel rejected Prophet Isa a.s. The Christians made a difference between Prophet Musa and Prophet Isa on one hand, and rejected Muhammad s.a.w. And then Allah says what we should manifest. وَقَالُوا. And they say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. You should manifest this verse. We hear and we obey. In direct contrast to those who said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا. We hear and we disobey. And then immediately, غُفْرَانَكَ. Your forgiveness. غُفْرَان literally means to cover. When Allah forgives the sin of an abd, the due punishment is averted from him. He covers and hides his shortcomings. And then we say, رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ. And to you, our Rabb, is the final coming. So the third aspect of belief, which is returning to our Rabb, the conviction in the Akhirah is there. So to summarize, within ourselves, Tawheed, Risala, Akhirah. How does it manifest ourselves? With one sentence, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear the messenger and we obey the messenger. Then he makes a statement in the next ayah. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not impose upon any soul anything except to the extent of its capabilities. So we can look at this in two ways. Reality expects no more than the natural limits to which one is capable of expanding. And the implication is that Allah expects as much as one is able to give. So one must go to the limit of one's potential and limitations. And he says, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. The soul will possess what it has earned and is responsible for what it has earned. And then once we've given our all and reached the absolute maximum of our limits, we have seven du'as. We say, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O our Rabb, don't take us to task. In other words, pardon us if we forget or we make a mistake. True recognition of forgetfulness and mistakes will inhibit their being repeated. Second du'a, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Our Rabb, don't lay upon us a burden such as those that were laid upon those before us. The burden of those before could mean those who were closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their trial was greater because they were closer to the emergence of the light of Islam. They therefore had a greater responsibility. In any case, we ask Allah not to afflict us with situations that may result in our committing wrong that lay on us a greater burden than that we can deal with. And that is conceptualized in the next sentence, which is رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا تَاقَةَ لَنَا بِ. Our Rabb, don't impose on us anything which we do not have the ability or strength to bear. And then وَعَفُ عَنَّا. Totally erase, totally wipe clean what we have unwillingly, inadvertently accumulated upon our journey to seek our full potential. وَغَفِرْ لَنَا. Cover for us, pardon us, forgive us. Warhamna, and have mercy on us. These three, wa'afu anna, waghfir lana, and warhamna, from a linguistic point of view, they are literally branching out from one root. So those who believe plead first to erase and eradicate the signs of their sins, and that is by removing its punishment from them. Then they ask him to cover and hide the sin by letting all concerned forget about it completely. And lastly, they crave for his mercy that will cover their sin and make them worthy of accepting his grace. It's a three-point plan. And then finally, Anta Maulana. Now, Mawla, in essence, is one you incline towards, or a helper, but not just any helper, one who looks after the affairs of the helped one. The root word is wilaya, which is to govern, to rule, to take charge of. So Allah is the ruler of the believers, He's the guardian of all their affairs. And what do we ask Him? We say, fansurna, help us. And Nasr is not just any help, it's massive help. Help us against what? Alal qawmil qafirin. Against a people who cover up the truth. That, in essence, completes Surah Al-Baqarah. So now let's look at a summary of everything we've done. We started off with Surah Al-Fatiha. It had three sections. We were looking for a God. And we found one who was Rabb, Rahman, Rahim, and Maliki Yawmiddin. And immediately we said, إِيَّكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We want to be your slaves, but we want your help. What do you want help in? We said, اِهْدِنَا الصَّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. We want to be guided to صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, our full potential. He said, easy. Follow those whom I have blessed, and amta, not those on whom there is anger, al-maghdub, and not those who are lost. So we said, but how do we know who they are? And he said, come to my institution, come to the Baqarah Learning Institution. And so we entered, and we were told to put ourselves in one of three classes. Either we were those who believed and accepted the guidance, or we were those who covered up the truth and refused the guidance, or the third group who pretended to accept the guidance, but within them had no intention to follow it through. So either believers, those who covered up the truth, or hypocrites. Then we looked at the second section, which introduced us to the director of the institution, Divinity himself. And basically we were told, register with the institution for a lifetime course. It provides you protection and provision. The syllabus is very comprehensive. It's a challenge, but it's comprehensive. You'll never find a better one. You're guaranteed Jannah in the dunya and the akhirah. The learning is tailored to every single student. The sole authority is the creator of the human being, and it covers all aspects of life. And then he introduced us to his first student in section 3. The human being has limitless potential. If manifested, then even the angels are in awe, and that which limits the potential is I. Tawbah becomes an aspect of life, an essential part of life. Following guidance leads to success, and success is defined as no fear and no sadness. Rejecting guidance leads to turmoil and agitation and a self-created fire. In section 4, which spanned most of through the first half of Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 40 to 123, we see the Bani Israel, the most challenging students, and we see an invitation from divinity to them to submission to him. We see 9 milestone events in their life every time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala graced them with guidance. And they continually said, Sami'na wa asayna, we hear but we disobey. And then we find 16 different traits of the Bani Israel. And in essence, they believed in Allah. They wanted the messenger if he could provide them with what they wanted. But when it came to obedience, they wanted to do it their way. In section 5, we see the star student, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. We see his tests and how he got through them, the building of the Kaaba, and his most awesome du'as, the 4 P's, prosperity, peace, progeny, and prophet. And then once we learnt the history of this learning institution, we have the change of Qibla in section 6. A visible focal point of orientation, but in essence, the inauguration of a new nation, in this case, the inauguration of a new class for Muslims, an identity of being one who submits to divinity. Section 7 now occupies most of the second half of Surah Al-Baqarah, but here we see personal and communal laws for Muslims, the learning objectives, and we went through 22 of them, beginning with seeking help through sabr and salah, because it was going to be a difficult journey, to the qualities of a righteous Muslim in Ayatul Birr, to wills, to Saum, to Ramadan, to Hajj, and the laws in relation to women. And once that class was complete, that wasn't enough. We now had to be smart investors. And so we look at section 8, where we have the most awesome ayah of the Qur'an, Ayatul Kursi, known as Sayyidatul Ayatul Qur'an, the chief of the ayats of Qur'an. And once we've understood Allah like that, then there is no compulsion in religion, because the truth has been separated from the falsehood. We see the expounding of Al-Hayyan Al-Qayyum in the examples of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then we see 3 types of investments, all financially based. We see smart long-term investments, which in essence was giving out. Being one whose lifestyle was giving, openly and secretly, by night and day. And these Allah deems as successful. Again, no fear, no sadness. We see the worst of investments being riba, where the human being is exploited and where economies are destroyed, and where only a few benefit. And then finally, the longest ayah in the Qur'an in this section we find, where Allah talks about, in detail, loan transactions in business ethics. And finally it ends with the core belief of the messenger and those who believe with him, put in one class together, Allah, Risala, and Akhirah. And it manifests itself by saying, Sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. And finally it ends with the profound dua that the Rabb has granted his abd, our Rabb, don't punish us for our forgetfulness and mistakes. Don't overburden us with what we have not the strength to bear. Pardon us, protect us, have mercy on us, inwardly and outwardly. Unify us, grant us the strength against the denial and rejection of your one true reality. And this final dua, you are our Mawla, proves that the first thing that should come into our minds after firmly deciding to hear and obey, Sami'na wa ata'na, is the general call to ensure that we invite as many as possible, the whole of mankind, to the religion of truth. May Allah grant us the ability to do that and to love this awesome book of His. Jazakumullah khair for being on this journey with me.